And now, Jalen and Jacoby.
He is Jalen Anthony Rose.
What up, dog?
I'm David Jacoby.
And on the cool check-in.
Together with Jalen Jacoby, what is it that we do?
We find time. We find energy.
We do.
We have the passion.
We do.
To get it, people.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
They want.
We have LeBron against Zion. We have the top two teams in the East facing off. And we have a special guest. Who's joining us?
Rich Kleiman will be here. Mover and shaker.
Who, we know who Rich Kleiman is, but who's
in entertainment and sports. He's an ultimate puppet master for the game.
Mm.
And one of the people that he works closely with, you guys probably have heard of him. His name is Kevin Durant.
Kevin Durant, KD.
Yeah.
Easy Money Sniper.
Yeah, they doing their thing with ESPN. Mm-hmm.
We will talk to Rich later, but right now we start with a gentleman by the name of LeBron James.
The King.
And he played basketball against another gentleman who plays professional basketball by the name of Zion Williamson. So it is a big showdown in Los Angeles, and LeBron knew the lights were on. LeBron knew people were watching because LeBron just put up 40 points and 8 rebounds and got the win for the Lakers. What did this LeBron performance say to you?
So, you know, the great Rakim once said, one thing I don't like is a spotlight because I already got light.
Mm-hmm.
That's what that reminded me of last night.
Ooh.
It was like the first couple of times they played against the Pelicans. Okay, Anthony, go ahead and get off against your former team. Feeding them and feeding them and feeding them. Then all of a sudden, Zion playing? Oh, it's about me now.
Okay.
Season high.
Yep.
I'm going to make sure I put the smack down.
Mm-hmm.
So when y'all start doing all of these comparisons and y'all start talking about number one picks and best rookie seasons and our head-to-heads,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to make sure my situation is up to par.
I was in the league when this man was 2 years old. Like, it's just reminding you all right now. LeBron James is having such a good season.
He
is my most valuable player of the season. So Zion, 29 points. Do it, Jay. Tell
Look
him, Jay.
Look at the Pelican fly!
Look at the Pelican fly. He has now had 5 straight 25-point games. Now, I knew that he would be good in the NBA. I had no idea it would be like this.
So, here's what I want people to understand about Zion that's so very unique. Usually, when you have a guy that goes number one overall,
mm-hmm.
they're either betting on the person's potential,
mm-hmm.
and or that person has such a vast skill set that you feel like you're taking them because they're going to be a Hall of Famer one day.
Yep.
Like if I take you in the top three, that's what
number
I expect.
Number one pick?
This is what's special about Zion. He got all of the best ability as it relates to intangibles. You just showed him getting loose balls. You saw what he did to Kevin Knox in the of the Knicks
mm-hmm.
when they played in the summer league.
He did to the Warriors 2 days
ago. He's done that to 2 or 3 people,
yeah.
right?
Give me that ball.
You see him getting deflections. You see him hustling on the fast
mm-hmm.
break. You see him doing all of the stuff that don't even show up on the stat sheet.
Yep.
They ain't even on stat sheet. And that's what's impressive for me. And then it's like, wait a minute. He's one of the greatest athletes that I've seen, especially at 6'8", 280 pounds. He got a handle.
Yep.
He's unselfish. And watch this trade, David Jacoby. You're going to appreciate this one. He can jump off of both legs and finish with both hands.
Yep. And his bounce, his second jump is so quick. If he misses a layup or something, it's like he just passed it to himself.
No doubt.
He should get an assist
no
for
doubt.
That. And something happened during this game. There's so much action on the court. You got LeBron putting up 40. And then you got Zion putting up 29. But this is what I want to discuss. Snacks. Snacks. LeBron James is on the bench. And what does he have? Snacks. He's got a full box of Red Vines right there. So he's got a Red Vine plug. And the Red Vine plug gives him Red Vines while he's out the game. Jalen Rose, you played in the NBA. Have you ever seen anything like this?
I have. It's just a sugar rush. It's no different from some people having gum, some people having candy, Oreo cookies. I've seen
really?
That. Yes. It's just a sugar rush. That's
well,
all
you
it
talking
is.
About how I spent $1 million on my body, and now he's eating Red Vines?
Tristan Thompson already told you.
He did. Tristan Thompson did tell us that he has a trash diet. Good for him. Something tells me his metabolism's a little bit better
but
than
see,
mine.
But see, the difference between him and me, if I eat like that,
Oh,
we know what happens when Kangaroo Jalen comes out. And also, I'm going to say this really quickly. Twizzlers over Red Vines all day. Twizzlers over Red Vines all day. Not even close. Not even close. Well, that wasn't the only big matchup last night in the National Basketball Association. We also had the two top teams in the East going head-to-head. The Bucks went into Toronto, and they got the win.
Yeah, they did.
They got the win. 19-19 from Giannis. Are the Bucks your clear favorite to come out of the East?
It's the Bucks and everybody else.
Mm-mm.
And I'm writing down some teams because depending on matchups, they could play any of these teams in the conference finals. I'm going to put an asterisk next to the Sixers because if they don't have Ben Simmons, then they're not going to make it to the conference finals. But solely based on matchups, remember I told you this, they could be playing the Raptors, the Heat,
Celtics,
Indy, but if I had to choose one, it would be the Celtics.
Celtics. I think the Celtics are the biggest threat to the Bucks, and I would right now pick the Celtics to come out of the East.
Ooh.
That's right. And there's something going on with the Celtics. If you haven't been paying attention, Jason Tatum is absolutely on fire lately. He had 14 of 22 shots go in last night. And not only that, 8 for 12 from 3. I'm going to say it again. 8 for 12 from 3, Jalen Anthony Rose. He's had back-to-back over 35-point games. Jason Tatum has emerged as a superstar and a franchise cornerstone for the Boston Celtics.
And you know what I like the most.
Hairline?
Keep a fresh cut.
He always does keep
you
a fresh
know,
cut.
I appreciate that.
He watches Jalen and Jacoby just to see where your hairline's at.
So while he's taking the leap that we thought he was going to take last year, and we can point to all of the reasons why it didn't happen last year. The team didn't meet expectations. Kyrie Irving's a role on the team. But now they're featuring him. And the thing that they're doing is basically playing small ball.
Yeah.
So we talked a lot about
the Rockets.
About correct. They're really playing small
Daniel
ball.
Daniel Tyson center.
They have scored more points with players 6'8" or below than any team in the league. Except the Rockets.
Interesting. Did you do preparation for the show today?
Well, I just figured that they're both playing small ball in theory. Like,
yes, they are.
Like Daniel Tice gives them quality minutes, and he had a career high the other day and grabbed the board.
Enes Kanter like a true center, but he doesn't play but 20 minutes a game.
But if you really think about it, Jaylen Brown and Tatum are playing your forwards.
Mm-hmm.
They were small forwards in high school.
Mm-hmm.
They're wiry strong. They're not bulky. So in theory, I've told you this all season. The Celtics, in my opinion, have arguably, along with the Clippers and the Rockets, the best collection of perimeter players.
Yeah.
They cover every base. You got the guy that can like Kimba that got the rock on a yo-yo and hit you like it's a joystick. You got Gordon Hayward, and you know that's my guy, second year off an injury. Marcus Smart is their best passer. People see him play defense and take charges. He really good distributing the ball, and he's an improved three-point shooter.
Yep.
And we just talked about the two Jays. So the Boston Celtics have legitimized themselves to me as the second-best team in the Eastern Conference. Now, I'm not sleeping on the Raptors.
I'm sleeping on the Raptors.
But I think when the playoffs come, that's when you need a go-to guy. And Pascal Siakam is an all-star and will be a perennial all-star. Let's see if this year in the playoffs he can become a go-to guy.
I'm glad you brought that up because if you were to ask me before the season started, who is the Celtics' go-to guy? I'd be like, I'm not really sure.
Correct.
But right now, they have a go-to guy, and that go-to guy is Jason Tatum. He's a superstar. I'm going to say superstar.
I won't call him a superstar just yet because I use that term.
That's why I said it.
He ain't a superstar yet. You got to lift your squad to be a superstar.
We'll see.
But he's on his way. But you know who I feel bad for?
Who?
I feel bad for Markelle Fultz and Lonzo Ball because these are young players that are continuing to progress, and I like their games.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Ball is playing really well with the Pelicans. Boards, 8 dimes, feeding Zion. And Markel earned a contract in the offseason, playing good minutes for Orlando.
And Orlando's in the playoff right now.
But they always going to get paired compared to Jason Tatum.
They are. Jason Tatum's always going to be better. Jalen Rose, who is joining us in the studio?
A mover and shaker in the industry.
Mm-hmm.
First off, my brother, my family member.
Yes, sir.
Rich Kleiman is here.
Appreciate it, guys.
Agent. Manager, power broker, philanthropist.
All right.
Oh, okay, I like that.
Leader.
Appreciate it.
And a guy that's a mover and shaker in the game.
Mm-hmm.
And he helped validate the Nets.
And
championship
help validate
opportunities.
Jay Will's whole career.
Wow. You know what I mean?
Nah, come on.
We talk about each other. Like,
all right.
This is how we talk about each other. Oh, and
early
by the way, he manages
fired.
Some guy named Kevin Durant, who's really good at basketball.
Good basketball player. Tall,
what's up,
man.
Guys?
Really good at basketball. Thank you so much for coming, man.
Nah, I'm happy to be here.
Thank you so much for coming.
Looks good in person, man. I like this.
Thank you.
Really, really happy to have you here. And, you know, we always gave you the big intro, but there is something happening sort of, especially in basketball, where you've got Bob Myers, Leon Rose, Rob Pelinka, who are your peers, essentially, agents, but they're now getting front office positions. What do you think about this? I know it's not brand new, but what do you think about this new movement?
I think it's necessary. I think it's like the appropriate evolution. I think you see now that players have taken so much more control of their own careers and their voice, that with that comes like who as part of the organization can really talk and relate to these athletes and understand what it is that they want, understand what it is that they want from their team. And I think that agents obviously have been the closest people to these guys throughout the years. And it's not for everybody though. I don't think it's like the natural evolution for every agent. But you're talking about people like Leon, who for 20 years have been at this and can't find one person to say a bad word about him. Has such an incredible reputation in the league, and I think that's what his strong suit is. For Bob Myers, he's just like full of charisma. He's a leader. He's a CEO. He's a front man, and you need that. You know, I need that. I don't think every player wants their owner, you know, all up in everything. That's not really like the role of the owner, so to speak, in every situation. But these agents have operated business. They built enterprise.
And Aaron Telling got hired by the Pistons, and he was instrumental from taking the team from Auburn Hills to Detroit.
Yeah.
So with that as a backdrop, is that something that you would consider in the future?
Yeah, definitely. I would love to do that. But I'd also would have a lot to do with the state of our business. Obviously, I want to wait till probably Kevin's done playing, and it also where I want to live, you know? Like, I'm not trying to run an organization.
Don't say the city.
I want to live where I want to live still.
Of course. And you sort of mentioned it, but I wanted to ask you more about it, the sort of what we're calling the player empowerment era. Like, what does that mean to you, and what do you think about people who sort of look at that as a negative thing?
If they look at it as a negative thing, they need to get off of it. You know what I'm saying? They need to get away from the game, because it's the right thing. The players in this league drive the league. That's fact. The superstars in this league drive the networks, they drive the channels, they drive the ticket sales. So to not see the players as having their own voice or being able to advocate for what's best for themselves or the team is just, you're not thinking in today's day. So, and plus, like, I've said this time and time again, you find an 18-year-old kid coming out of college or coming out of high school more aware and astute business minds than basketball players today. You don't have conversations with 18-year-old kids about how you keep certain people away, how you manage your money, who you pick to represent your career. Like, did you think about that at 18?
No.
Nobody does. You had to.
I had to. And also, I love the way it is graduated for the players, where they're a lot more intelligent. They understand their likeness. You see them trademarking stuff. You see them starting businesses. You see them being more intelligent with their finances. And I said on this show, and it's not just because of the amount of money players make, you won't see guys going broke anymore.
No.
Because of exactly what you just said.
Yes. That adage is old, man. I think when that movie came out, that symbolized like the end of that, to be honest with you. You know, and it's awful to see some of those stories of the players before, but if anything, that led to, you know, played a part in where we're at now, which is like, I think the one thing you don't have to worry about is NBA players taking care of their business.
Absolutely. So you work alongside a player that has all of the skills. He happens to be 7 foot, can dribble, pass, and shoot. But there's a team in Houston, they're committed to small ball.
Yeah.
With James Harden and Russell Westbrook, what are your thoughts on them trying to do that, and do you think it could work in the playoffs?
Well, I don't know, to be honest with you. I mean, if I had to answer the question, I'm weary of it. I think that obviously you gotta spread the floor, and that's the day and age we're in, and you gotta have shooters, but you can't have 5 people out there in the perimeter. I think when it gets closer and closer to finals, you're gonna have someone that's gonna have to get the ball in these people's hands, and you're gonna have someone catching lobs. You have to have somebody in the paint in order to make that spread offense work. But I think this year is an anomaly to begin with. And if there's ever going to be a year where I think a team like that could break through, it would be now. But I'm weary of it, to be honest with you.
When you say this year is an anomaly, like, what exactly do you mean?
Well, I just think that, like, you got two of the best players in the league that aren't playing.
Yep.
You have a brand new situation in LA where even though the Clippers look like a championship caliber team, it is still the first year. And I've watched that firsthand. And though the Warriors did it, there's challenges when you bring everybody together. And the same goes for the Lakers. But I think with the Lakers, you just have somebody that's just so seasoned and doing it year after year after year. And the team's built to play within that style that I think they may be more equipped for. And, you know, but the Bucks, if anything, are on that trajectory right now that you've seen traditionally, which is like they've gone to the playoffs, they've taken their shots, but still got to see it in the championship game and the conference finals.
I think people forget the Bucks were up 2-0 in the Eastern Conference Finals last year.
Yeah, but I don't even know if that means anything. Like when we was younger, if you were down 2-0, it was over, right? Like
if
you lost a road game, it was over. I remember if you stole a road game, you was like, oh, we're going to finish this to six. 2-0, it's like a hockey series now. It's like, yo, they'll go win four in a row.
That is a good point. That's exactly what the Raptors did too. Yeah. It wasn't even in game seven.
And you don't even think about it.
No.
3-0. You're thinking about it, but even so, you're like, you're still telling yourself some stories about how you think you can get out of that hole.
So you're a seasoned veteran in the game, and as you see, our show tries to embody the culture as well as anyone in the industry. And you work with artists like Solange and Meek Mill and J. Cole. So what do you think about the convergence of the culture and hip-hop with basketball and in sports?
I think they're married to each other. You know, I think, and you've seen this for a long time now. But I think that like one thing, and I think this is why we created the boardroom that you've seen more in the last 5 years, which lends to what we were just talking about, is when I was going up, the impresario around music was who I looked up to, you know, and I think people started to get excited about who the executives were that were building these labels and who the executives were that were building these media companies and figuring out like who these different people were that were so instrumental in hip hop culture. And now you see that same fascination with the business of sports and the business of basketball and the culture around where those conversations are happening. Like, how are you, Jalen Rose, an ex-athlete, also an entrepreneur in the face of a show? And even, and in your role in sports, like, people didn't talk about that. They didn't, you know, we talked about that in music, but I really wanted to create a platform to be able to celebrate and give everyone the opportunity to kind of flex their stuff and talk about their business and to see how just how evolved the sports business is and what the conversations really look like.
And I like to remind people of where professional sports started to accept rap music. MC Hammer, Bad Boys, Pistons, You Can't Touch This. That's when it started. Because as a player in high school, I remember playing the tapes for us to come and warm up. And the fans, once we got to college, was looking at us like we was crazy. Like, y'all listen to Public Enemy? Y'all listen to NWA? Like, who are those artists? That's when we went from listening to Woot, There It Is in the Arena, to now when guys are dribbling and you can literally hear Curtis 50.
I remember at the Garden too when it switched. Like, I remember it like clearly. They would have like it'd be more pop music. They had some Four Tops and Temptations at the Garden right before like the clock ran. But then one year I came back and they played Redman, Time for Some Action.
Ooh,
like,
yes.
Right when the Knicks came out and it was, the whole shift changed.
Of course.
By the way though, do you think that that's your memory of it? Cause you're from Detroit and we all have our own memory of when it happened.
Let him live that delusion. Not at all.
This is being an athlete and also being a fan of the hip hop culture. I remember when mainstream America didn't accept hip hop.
Oh, for sure.
Well, on that, we need something from you, Rich. We're so honored to have you here. We need a favor.
Yeah.
So we started a campaign like 5 years ago. We want a statue of Biggie Christopher Wallace outside of the Barclays. Now, I know you have a little sway within the organization. You might have some people in your phone that can help us.
I don't know if I do.
Can you help us get a Biggie statue outside of Barclays?
Look, I agree with you. So I will work with you to try to help make that
happen. Yes, if I write a
strongly-worded
email...
You.
Can you forward it to somebody?
Yeah, I'll forward it. That's the guess. Send me an email. I'll forward it.
I know you won't put me in touch.
Yeah.
But will you forward it?
Oh, definitely do that. Yeah. Send me an email. Short one, and I'll forward it.
Yeah, yeah. It'll be concise. All right. Well written. I'll make sure I get a copy edit on it. You gonna stick around?
Don't
for
we put
second?
Jay-Z out there then, too? Got to.
We'll see. All right. Let's get Biggie out there first.
I'll put that in my email when I forward it on.
All right. You want to stick around for another segment?
Yeah, for sure.
All right, we're going to ask you about Kevin Durant.
Give the people what they want.
You could be headed to the game or going on an epic road trip. No matter where your travels take you, Marathon can help you get there with quality top-tier gas. Marathon gasolines are formulated with STP additives. They keep your vehicle running at peak performance by optimizing fuel economy, removing those ugly deposit buildups, and by reducing emissions. And right now, you can get 5 cents off every gallon every day with Make It Count rewards from Marathon. Plus, you can earn points for additional savings on fuel, airfare, hotels, and more. This is definitely a win-win deal. It's quick and easy to join. Just download off the free Make It Count app or go to makeitcount.com/radio. So join the Marathon team and start saving today. This offer is valid at participating Marathon stations. Remember, wherever your journey goes, it pays to start at Marathon. Marathon, fueling the American spirit. Rich Kleiman in studio joining us. Rich.
Yes, sir.
Obviously, you work closely with Kevin Durant.
Yes, sir.
And the Warriors owner, Joe Lacob, said that his decision to leave the Warriors, quote, made no sense.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
That's exactly what he should say.
Okay.
Like why? I mean, if I'm the owner of the Warriors, I think it made no sense. But that's why it was Kevin's decision. But I understand. And I like Joe Lacob, and I like that competitiveness about him. I think that's why the Warriors, that's one of the many reasons why they've been so successful, is like from the top down, there's a real competitiveness to win. So mm-hmm. I get it. I like that. You know, that part of it, I don't mind. I don't see that as like a shot. I see that as like an owner that takes pride in his organization and is like, I had the best player in the world on my team. And I'm like, damn, I don't get why he left. I just built a new arena in the middle of Silicon Valley. We won 2 of 3 chips. Well, it was Kevin's decision. You know what I mean? But I get it.
Yeah.
And I took him over there with a hard hat and tried to sell him on it. He left anyway. So yeah. Let me ask the question in reverse.
Yeah.
So he's a member of the Thunder. They lose to the Warriors. He goes and joins the Warriors after that. How did you guys as a team deal with the public criticism of that decision?
I mean, there wasn't really like a blueprint. I mean, I think that the reality is that Kevin is more mentally tough than people really even understand and has way thicker skin than people understand. I think people think that by him going back and forth on social media, which is way more a reflection of the time we're in, that represents like how sensitive he is, so to speak.
Good point.
To me, I'm just like, man, he sees a comment on himself. He engages in it. And to be honest, he doesn't run from it at all. He just said on the show the other day with Matt Barnes, he still has his burner accounts. I embrace all that. And I think it was tough at times just because as my boy, I care about him. And it was getting vicious at times, but that comes with it. And quickly you just realize that's part of the entertainment in this league. And you know what? People loved him more. He kept getting voted into All-Star games. His jersey sales was still at the top in the league. People still loved him everywhere he went on the road and he still produced. So, you know, it just came with it. But when you make a decision that's best for you, hence best for you, there's people that aren't going to mm-hmm. be happy with it. And I think he knew that and owned it. It would suck if players had to make decisions for the fans and for ownership and for this. They should make decisions for themselves. That's it.
Absolutely. Dude, they can't please everybody. And I remember when he decided to play with
anybody.
Them. Yeah, when he decided to play with them, I was like, that makes perfect sense. Because not only were they winning, they were having so much fun doing it. And the culture was so good. And it was like, you know what? If I'm playing pickup, I want to play on the best team.
Yeah.
I want to stay on the court. It's just like, it made perfect sense to me. I don't know why you have to set these challenges up in front of yourself to accomplish something, but it does kind of feel like that's what he did by joining the Nets a little bit. You know what I mean? Saying like, let me just up the difficulty level a little bit and win a chip over here. Do you think that's fair to say?
No, I think honestly, like he looked at it as another challenge. I mean, I think that like I've realized this with a lot of great successful people is the more practical and simple you can think, the more successful you can be and not really let all that noise go out. I'm in Defiant Ones, Jimmy Iovine referenced it as like blinders that he puts on. I think Kevin thinks the same way. He's like, I really want my craft to be honed in the place that I feel like it's the best suited for my game and I'm going to take it there. I'm going to play with who I want to play with and everybody can deal with it the way they got to deal with it. And that includes people that in his own camp that are like, you should do this, you should do that. Like, that's a strong mind, in my opinion. I feel the same way about LeBron. Like, it's the same way. If you just advocate for yourself, do what's best for you and your people, like, how can you knock that? We embrace that in every other walk of life, but in sports, we want to knock people for doing that because the fans are upset.
And the amazing thing about these all-time great players, and I saw this happen with the late, great Kobe Bryant, is he was very grateful everything he did with Shaq in the 3 championships. but he really relished winning those two without him.
Mm-hmm.
Same with LeBron when he went back to the Cavs. I feel the same way a lot for KD and the Nets. It was great to go to the Warriors and win Finals MVP back to back, but do you feel like I feel that it will be that much sweeter that he could take a franchise that hasn't been to that level in a long time and lift them to a title?
Yeah, I mean, look, I understand that thought process from a fan's point of view or for a peer, right? Like, cause you are a peer in that way. For me, it's like, I think that experience will be its own experience and we'll have to see at the time if we get there, what that journey is and the work that's put in. And then you'll feel a certain sense of kind of satisfaction from that. And you may be right, but I know from being firsthand in watching the Warriors day in and day out, it wasn't a cakewalk to the finals.
Not at all.
And you still have to go through the season and practice every day. You got to work. You got to make the personalities mesh. Him and Steph had to learn how to play together. There was a lot of work in that. That wasn't like an insert here and win chip. It feels that way because they won it. But you know what I'm saying? Look at game three. And the first time they won versus the Cavs, that was about as high a level of basketball I've ever watched. The two of them going at it. The KD's first shot over LeBron. So it's like they handled their business and did what they were supposed to do. But we know in football, when the best team in the league plays, they win 18 games in a row, and then they run into my Giants and they lose. Like, it's a lot of work to do that day in and day out. So like, it'll be different.
You're talking about the walk up three that KD hit over LeBron.
At Cleveland,
There's in that moment, it kind of felt like, we have a new best player on the planet. Like, after that shot went in. And I want to ask you, because it does kind of feel like you can make a case for Giannis, you can make a case for Kawhi, you can make a case for KD, you can make a case for Steph, you can make a case for LeBron. Does he consider that when he plays basketball?
No, you know that though. Because you know that from hearing him interviewed on that question before and just knowing him, no. But I don't necessarily think you can make a case for everybody you just said, by the way. But that being said,
take it off the list.
I'm not saying anyone in particular, but I'm just saying I think the case for Kevin was made over a long period of time and a long body of work. But no way is he walking on the court. I don't know because I don't talk to other players about this or really Kevin. You would know. I don't know. I don't know if you go out there thinking that way. Like,
for me, it's like king of the court. And so right now, Kawhi Leonard is the finals MVP. He has the crown. When Kevin Durant was back-to-back finals MVP, for me, he had the crown. These are all-time great players.
Yeah.
So it depends on the moment to me.
For sure. But I think I just had this conversation over Christmas with CeCe Sabathia. We were talking about there's certain players where, like, yes, you can reference it in terms of the crown, the chip, the current rankings, like in tennis or golf. Like, who's number one in the rankings currently? But then when you unfold all that and you're in your living room with your boys and you're talking, you're like, well, who are we really giving the ball to when we need it?
Yes.
And like, which is different, right? And that's what I said earlier today.
And that's a whole different group of players where you're like, you really do know they're better. But I understand we have to have a conversation about like who just won and whose stats are this. And I get that. And then the stats play a part in it. But also like how you feel when you watch them play and how you feel when you see what they do on the court. You're like, he's better. He's different.
Rich, it's time for Sophomore for Boston.
Oh.
All right. Sophomore for Boston is a segment. It pretty much explains itself. But Lil Nas X is a popular rapper, and he posted something on social media that we want to show you. Okay? He is in his bathtub with a full meal. A hot dog, a cookie, and what looks like some Cheetos or something, maybe some cereal. So, eating a full meal in the bathtub, soft move or boss move?
Well, if you got the tray, I think it's a boss move. Without the tray, that looked like that's about to tip over any second. I'm going to go soft move.
I'm very concerned about that.
I think that's a soft move. Yeah. I think it's unsanitary. The water's dirty. Yeah. I don't want it near my food at all. If you wouldn't drink that water, you shouldn't be eating off that water.
Yeah, and to be honest with you, I don't really want to know like who's in the bath or not. Seriously.
Right.
But I do like that tray. Some hotels you go to, they got
boss.
That tray.
The tray
yeah, I'm going to get one of those trays. I'm going to go to Home Goods.
Trey's boss.
I'm going to go to Home Goods after the show. I'm going to get one of those trays. Jalen, what we discuss in this program is very important to you. You complain to me about it all the time. So we created a segment where you get to decide. It's called Keep It Moving. If you want to discuss the topics, say hit the brakes. If not, me and Method Man jump in the minivan and keep moving. Are you ready, Mr. Rose?
The mighty Wu-Tang Clan contributes to our program on a daily basis. Let's get it.
What a time. Got Cam Newton update. Keep moving or hit the brakes?
Hit the brakes.
Oh, we're going to hit the brakes on this one. The Panthers say they're committed to Cam at quarterback. I have a theory they're just saying that because he's injured and they can't trade him.
So I'm going to say something that I want you to make sure that you hold me accountable to.
What's that?
Of all of the quarterbacks we're talking about this offseason, they're making headlines.
Rivers, Brady,
Tom
Dak.
Brady, yeah. Rivers,
Breeze.
Dak, Breeze. Let me tell you something.
Tell me something.
Cam Newton is going to be the most elite performer out of all of them next year.
Really?
Yes.
Really? Injured foot and all that?
Yes.
All right. I'm going to hold you accountable to that one.
Because guess something that he's done over the last few years that not, well, Tom Brady has.
Yeah.
Tom Brady has. But Cam is being slept on is my point.
Okay.
Do you agree with that?
I'm going to hold you accountable to this.
Cam is being slept on.
I have a Le'Veon.
I got you, Cam.
Bell update. Keep moving. Hit the brakes.
Does he still play for the Jets?
Yep.
Keep it moving.
All right.
We keep it moving.
I have an update about Tua.
Hit the brakes! Hit the brakes!
Tua! He said he expects to be fully medical cleared by March 9th, and he's going to have his own pro day on April 9th. Jalen, my question for you is this. What happens?
So let me tell you.
What happens if they don't draft Tua?
Let me tell you what happens. Where's my single camera? Is this my single camera?
Okay. Right there, sir.
Let me say something. Unlike David Jacoby, I'm a diehard Detroit Lions fan. Born and raised in the city. Rooted for the squad when they had Billy Sims jumping on the back of defenders and kicking them in the chest. Barry Sanders, Megatron. I've seen the greatest of the greats. And I love Matthew Stafford. But he's done his bid in Detroit. He's done his bid. I say draft Tua. Allow him to usher in, like Patrick Mahomes did under Alex Smith. Allow Stafford to be the starter next year.
I love this.
Keep his value up.
Mm-hmm.
And then we owe him to send him to the place of his choice where he can go and be on a contender.
And then you know what happens?
But if we don't take Tua.
And then you know what happens? Then it's Tua time.
Hey, man. If we don't take Tua, I might become a Jacoby.
You gonna leave the Lions?
Nah, I ain't leaving.
You ain't gonna leave. You're a Lions leaving. Fan for life.
I ain't leaving.
But you know what? If they do draft Tua,
hurt my feelings.
If they do draft Tua, we're going to some Lions.
No doubt.
We're going to some Lions. Just to watch him on the sideline.
Hey, let me tell you.
Just to watch him on the sideline.
Tua gonna be right there next to Juwan.
Let's move on. I got some bad news for Yankee fans. Keep moving or hit the brakes.
Reg DeLez don't want me to talk about this topic. Right. He's a diehard Yankee fan, so keep it moving. Get healthy, Luis.
Get better, Reg.
Keep it moving.
I got Jacoby news.
Hit the brakes.
Hit the brakes on that. Okay. The Thunder beat the Bulls, but that does not matter. Do you know what does matter?
What?
My man. Jacoby White. People call him Kobe White. His name is Alec Jacoby White. He put up 35 points, Jalen, and he became the very first rookie to come off the bench in three straight games and score 30 points. What do you think about Jacoby White?
So, as a young player, really trying to find his way, and when you're on a squad where it's all young players and nobody's really, other than Zach LaVine, in my opinion, established themselves as not only a starter in the league, but as somebody that's going to have staying power. Like, you got a lot of young players that's still trying to figure it out. Like, I like Markkanen. I like Wendell Carter. I like their collection of young players. I like Chris Dunn. But you know what I really think they need to do?
What's that?
They need to fire Pax and Gar. And they need to get a different coach.
Yeah, they might
now, I've been saying this.
Yes.
And I'm not advocating for people to lose their job.
No.
Okay, I'm not enthusiastic about saying that. I feel like they've had a legitimate chance to turn the situation around. They had multiple draft picks to see if they were going to develop. And then now I think the fans deserve the opportunity to see if somebody can change the fortunes of the franchise.
One of your many former teams got a win yesterday.
Hit the brakes.
That is the Indiana Pacers. Sabonis played pretty well, 21 points. They got a win over the Hornets. However, Jalen, you remember when the Pacers were rolling? We were talking about them being a little threat in the East. If you haven't been paying attention, they have been playing that well lately. And Victor Oladipo was out in this one as well. Jalen, what do you think about the Pacers' slide?
So, shout out to Nick Nurse of the Raptors and Nate McMillan of the Pacers, because I appreciate their talent development. When I'm watching their two teams play, all of a sudden, guys come in off the bench that aren't notable, wasn't high draft picks, that they just joined the team this year, and they're playing productive minutes. And that's what Nate McMillan has been doing with this team. But don't sleep on Indy.
I'm sleeping on Indy.
I'm telling you, if Victor Oladipo gets back to his all-NBA level and add in Brogdon, and Turner could get me 8 blocks like that, and Sabonis could get me 9 dimes like that.
First round knockout.
They'll be in the mix.
First round
knockout. I'm telling you, there are a handful of teams, Jacoby.
All right. Okay. First round knockout. The Duke Blue Devils are in the news for the wrong reasons. Keep moving and hit the brakes.
Well, you know, I'm just happy that Wake Forest fans got a chance to storm the court. Allow them to enjoy themselves. Keep it moving. I'm not going to pile on the Blue Devils.
We keep it moving. We keep it moving.
I have important baboon news.
Hit the brakes.
Okay. In Australia, a baboon was scheduled to have a vasectomy.
Baboon vasectomy.
Yes. So the baboon and two of his homegirls were brought to the hospital. Ooh. What did this baboon do?
Threesome.
He said, I'm out of here. He said, I'm gone. So he broke out of the facility. This baboon was like, y'all gonna do what to me now? He grabbed one girl with one hand, one girl with the other hand, and said, we're out of here. Jalen Rose, is this baboon the hero that we all need?
That hero is a genius.
I love this
baboon. And like I told you, you shouldn't do it either.
I'm thinking about getting a vasectomy.
You talked about it. I'm encouraging you.
I'm thinking about getting a vasectomy.
To.
I'm having second thoughts. Second. I'm getting a little cold feet.
Learn from the baboon.
Well, learn from the baboon.
Just think about what he did. Okay. Just think about what he did. Now he's in there.
Yup.
And all of a sudden, then you say he had two women with him.
Two ladies with him.
He's like, I'm about to give this up. I'm about to give this up by choice. I'm about to give this up by choice. Let's get out of here, y'all. Let's get out of here.
You know what? I'm not having a vasectomy. Tell my wife I'm sorry. Will you tell her? I don't want to tell her.
No, I ain't telling her.
Okay, maybe I'm having a vasectomy. Give the people what they want. I'll admit it. I'm not the greatest at giving myself the warm, delicious breakfast that I deserve. I've had my fair share of sad breakfasts. Beige, plastic-wrapped, brick-shaped protein bars, day-old breakroom donuts, frozen breakfast trays, not my finest moments, but now that McChicken breakfast sandwiches are on the McDonald's breakfast menu, I don't think I can ever go back to my old breakfast life, and you shouldn't either. That's a breakfast worth getting up for. It's time to change your life for breakfast. Buttery, crispy McChicken biscuits and savory sweet chicken McGriddles, freshly prepared and now available nationwide at McDonald's. That is how you wake up breakfast. At participating McDonald's for a limited time.
You didn't tell me how clean I was today. I see myself now. I'm like, wow.
You look like a Three Musketeers bar. That's what you look like. Well, the Rockets' outspoken owner, Tillman Fertitta, he had this to say about his team and his confidence. He said, quote, none of us fear LA or the Clippers or Denver like we feared Golden State. It's not like how we were scared of them. We could easily win the West this year or get knocked out in the first round. Our chances are as good as they've ever been. Jalen, what do you think about his confidence?
Well, he's not playing.
Mm-mm.
So it's one of those things, you know, you can write all of the checks you want.
Oh, you mean he's actually not playing?
Yeah,
I thought he wasn't playing.
Yeah, he won't be in uniform.
No, he will not.
So I always, to be honest with you, in playing basketball, and maybe because I was a really good player and was fortunate enough to play on really good teams, I never understood why players were intimidated to play basketball at all.
Mm.
Especially when the rules have changed. There's zero physical intimidation in today's game. It's not like you can get flagrant fouls or you can like fight.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like that's out of the game. So it's not like Deontay Wilder probably should feel going into his next fight against Tyson Fury.
Mm.
Like to me, that's a different mentality. So I agree with what he's saying, but basically what he's acknowledging truthfully is that there isn't a super team anymore.
Yeah, that's basically what it is.
That's why they feared the Golden State Warriors. They had the Splash Brothers and KD. That was a problem.
That's a good point. Well, we know a little bit more about Ben Simmons' mysterious back injury. He has a nerve impingement in his lower back and is expected to be sidelined for an extended period of time, longer than the 2 weeks
that Woj originally reported. How bad is this for the
season? So you're going to appreciate this example.
What's that?
And, you know, I take pride in being a Renaissance man. Bit of talk about whatever, whenever, at all times. When I see him, you know, from Detroit, that's our, you know, I can spell that. But here's what I want to tell you. When I see Ben Simmons, you know what it reminds me of? A running back that constantly runs between the tackles. Because he doesn't shoot outside of the paint.
No.
So what is he doing? He's constantly driving and taking contact. LeBron James is 35 years old in his 17th season. But he's attempting more threes than he ever has.
Of course.
Because he's going further away from the basket as he's gotten older. Ben continuously attacks the basket. So therefore, this injury for him and his style of play, it really bothers me, Jacoby. Mm. Like, if I'm somebody that cares about his best interests, and I hear the word back, and all of a sudden, initially, just so you know, he was supposed to go in and out of the game and go back and forth to the locker room and get treatment during the game he played. To me, the team that invented tanking and the process, you would think that they would say, your back hurts?
Back hurts?
No, we're going to hold you out.
Yeah.
So since that didn't happen, I got to protect me now. And I wouldn't be surprised that he making sure he 100%, and that might not even be to the playoffs.
I can't act like I know exactly what a nerve impingement is, but I did Google it, and it does not sound good. There's loss of function, weakness, tingling, and pain. I don't want any of that. Jalen.
No.
Sometimes there's video that we need to break down in distinct detail, so it's time for us to go to the table. One day you and I were playing pickup basketball, and in between games, you said, get your phone, because I'm about to dunk. And I filmed you dunking. And it was questionable whether or not it was a dunk. Now we have video of Shaquille O'Neal's daughter, Shaq's daughter, 13 years old. And look at what she is doing. Jalen, was that a dunk?
It didn't go in.
Was that a dunk?
No. Not a dunk attempt.
It was a dunk attempt?
First off, I got a 13-year-old daughter. Oh, it did go in.
It did.
I take that back. That is a dunk.
That's a dunk. Thank you very much.
That is a dunk.
Thank you very much.
Shout to Shaq.
Yes.
And his kids.
I love Shaq so much.
Shaq is so rich.
He's so big and rich.
He got his logos everywhere. I put his logo up here.
We always say we give the people what they want, so we're not just going to give you the television show audio. We always give you podcast exclusive Too Hot for TV. You know what? People like the behind-the-scenes stuff. They like to know what's going on here at the South Street Seaport. And I just had an experience that I want to share with the people.
Ooh.
Yeah. And you're going to like it. You know why you're going to like it?
Ooh.
It's about poop. So, you know, we've got a special bathroom here for talent only. Okay? Uh-huh. So, I'm in there.
No. This didn't.
It's a single stall. So, okay. This is a door with a lock. I'm in there, and I lock the door. I've got some things to do, right?
Uh-huh.
And who comes around? So I'm in there, and I'm glad he's joining us now, because I'm about to call out Jay Will. Jay Will. Jay Will, was that you knocking on the door while I was using the bathroom?
Jay Will's, you know what I've always...
Was that you? So I'm... Okay, no, because we're on the pod right now.
We're on the pod right now.
We're on the pod right now. I just want you to know that...
I always thought when you have Wale in the background, and I don't know if that was accurate.
No.
Oh, it's not.
No.
Did everything finish? Okay.
No, I want to talk to the people about this. You saw the bathroom, right, Rich? It's a single stall bathroom for talent only. There's only one person there, and I locked the door. I'm in there, and your boy, Jay Will, knocks on the door. First of all, if it's locked,
wait,
if it's locked, there's someone in there. Yeah, it's one person in the bathroom.
Why are you only using the talent?
So if it's locked,
yeah,
there's someone in there. So what are you knocking for?
No, but that's, I feel like that's all right.
It's a message.
Can I tell you why? Can I just tell you why?
No.
There's a message. It's a message to the person in there that there's someone outside.
Okay.
So if you're planning on making this a long one, hit me back.
Okay.
Nah, I'm good.
I'm good. That's fine. That's fine. No.
What?
Yes, wow, then, no. So he knocks. So he knocks.
Right here.
And then he knocks again.
Yeah, that's a lot.
I didn't get the second answer the first time.
And then he wants to have a conversation through the door.
He said,
He wants to have a conversation through the door. Come on.
Give me an update.
It is embarrassing, though, when you're in, like, the knock is a lot. It's a bit violating, but it, both sides need it.
I understand. I understand the single knock. The secondary knock was extraneous.
But here's the thing, though.
The second knock is extraneous.
You don't hear anything back for a while. It's your duty to keep knocking and make sure, A, you're right, and to let you know to get the fuck out.
Yeah. Because it was, I was emotionally abused. What do you mean? Why did I respond with aggression? That was abusive.
That being said, though, I apologize to your experience.
That's your guy.
That's your guy.
Right.
Rich Kleiman joined the pod with us, everybody.
Yeah.
Welcome, Rich.
Thank you, guys. Rich. Man, I'm actually really, really, truly honored to be here.
I really messed
with both you guys, and I really wanted to see these pictures up close. I've been trying to figure out who was who all this time.
The studio's much smaller than you thought it was, right?
No, I thought it was about this guy. Seems right.
You know what? I just thought of something while we were introducing you before you got here.
Yeah.
White World by West. That's what I'm doing. I'm just saying, it feels good, right? White World by West.
Four W's. Yeah.
White World by West.
Wow.
Yeah, because right. We were talking about you're the guy behind the guy. You're a mover and shaker in the basketball and entertainment space.
I like that.
And you know,
agent and manager Kevin Durant, 35 ventures.
Yeah, like an if you know, you know guy. You know what I mean? That's who you are. You're an if you know, you know guy.
I like that.
Yeah.
But you gotta get you a nickname.
Yeah, I mean, I want to take someone else's.
No, you can't be White World by West. That doesn't work.
Let's have that as our word.
Do you know where he got his nickname from?
No, you probably do, though.
I gave it to him.
Did you really?
I did.
Tell the story.
You don't take credit for that.
I knew I was validated when Jay used it in the song.
Wow, that was big.
I was like, I'm legit.
Tell the story.
Tell us the story.
So we were leaving Detroit, I think, to come to New York, and I was on a Delta flight.
What year?
This was maybe 10 or 15 years ago.
He doesn't even know my first name, but he knows it was a Delta flight, too. Yeah. I love that you know it was a Delta
flight.
Let's
say 20.
Yeah. Like the information that you retained.
It was a while.
He forgot the years.
Yeah. Medicine. It was like 10 or 15 years ago. And so we waiting on somebody to get on the plane. And I'm like, why are they holding the plane? And then he comes strolling on with some food. So that's double. So you know one thing if you're late.
Mm-hmm.
It's another thing that you had the nerve to stop and get food.
Yep.
Right? So we're just sitting there thinking, and I don't know why it came to me. I was just thinking about WWW, and I was just like, boom, World Wide West.
Fire. That's a real thing.
It stuck, too.
Yeah, it did stick, and it even went as far as to be used in another context now, right? To become the White World Wide West.
Yes.
That means World Wide West is a real thing.
The remix.
But if you hold up a commercial airline, that's a real thing.
That's a real thing.
That's a real thing. Yes. Right? And then if you come out with food with no respect for everyone else.
When I used to have food. Employees and they would show up late to something and they'd have like a smoothie, I'd be like, my guy, like, or coffee. You can be 10 minutes late. You can't be showing up with a venti latte. You know what I mean?
Come in with a lot.
At least get like a drink. It's like, come on now.
A real excuse.
Throw that away outside.
Yep.
So, Rich, I was talking to Jay Will doing a pre-interview because we're prepared for this.
I like
we're
that.
We're prepared for your
Jay Will, look out for me.
We're prepared for this experience. And he said, and I don't believe it, that one of your sort of like entryways into the industry was a show, little known show called The Life, produced by ESPN Magazine.
Yep.
And I know someone who was involved with that because I was in the office next door, Connor Schell.
Yeah, Connor Schell was an intern on that show.
Yeah.
Yep. And you remember the theme song for that show? Hip hop trivia right here?
No.
Styles P, Pharrell Monch. Life. You don't remember that song?
It was
on a Soundbombing album. You gotta know that.
Oh, Soundbombing 2. Soundbombing 2.
This was on Soundbombing.
Raucous Records.
That's what it was.
Soundbombing 2 was classic.
Yeah, that record was a real thing. That was like radio played all off the ESPN show.
Yeah, and now we can't use commercial music on our podcast. Now, we complain about it all the time.
And for the fans, let's
straight stock music.
let's not underrate what he just said for the people. Connor Schell was an intern on the show. But you guys that don't know, he's now the president and our boss at ESPN.
VP of content, I want to say. Senior VP of content. Executive VP of content?
Yeah, right. Real title.
There's a real president. Jimmy Pitaro, he listens to the podcast every day. He's going to be like, come on, Jay.
He listens every day?
Every day. Twice.
Every day.
Twice.
What up, Jimmy?
Twice.
Yeah.
We call definitely this.
President.
Yeah.
Tom, what else, guys? Talk to me.
So here's what I want to ask you before we get into the pot.
Yeah, we got the TV section. We'll do in a second.
You clearly were instrumental in helping the Nets turn around their fortunes so very fastly from a team that made the playoffs last year with no expectations to all of a sudden in one offseason acquiring Kyrie Irving and your client, Kevin Durant. What was that process like and leading up to the decision and then once it was made?
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't say that I was a big part in their resurgence, to be quite honest. Like, I did my job, which was like to do the due diligence that Kevin wanted on the opportunities that were in front of him. But as he said, and I think you have even alluded to, like, these guys are in positions now where they're such astute business minds. They've seen this league for so long. They understand what's real, what's not real, what's really important. And outside of just giving him information as his manager, as his friend, he was going to do what he wanted to do. And he did do what he wanted to do. And for me, it was like, you know, I'm down. I had my own feelings about it, but like, that's not what's important. What's important is making sure he ends up in the place he wants to be. So, you know, if that's how it looks, like I had a big part in it, you know, I think that's actually not factual, because all I did was just like finish the paperwork and deliver the message and then do my job. But, you know, I think the Nets are obviously in an incredible position now. So it's a different thing here in New York now.
Absolutely. And it doesn't hurt that the Knicks are trash either. You know, like the Knicks are trash. I brought my son. He's six.
I can't say that. I'll be honest.
I brought him four games.
That's his squad.
He's lost four times. See, I'm not loyal to my teams.
I'm a die easy fan.
That's it's like the opposite of die hard.
What are your teams?
I don't have one. Whoever I like in the moment.
He's like LeBron and the Lakers.
I watch sports with no stakes. Like, you don't feel any emotion. You don't. Do you gamble?
No, I don't.
You gamble?
No, I don't.
You don't gamble and you don't have a favorite team?
No. No.
Just love sports like that.
I love sports.
I do too, but I feel like you need stakes, man.
I wish. I just follow my heart.
I'll answer that for him. He's not loyal.
Yeah.
And let me give you another way to think
about it. To your friends?
He's not loyal. He's not loyal.
If you got my last name.
He just on the show the other day. He has three kids. They're, you can see him right there, handsome and beautiful. He already said into this microphone that which one is his favorite already.
That's not fair. We gotta bring that up again.
He's already done that.
Which Chloe. Is your favorite? I'm going to see who Chloe is. On the left.
No, she's got that one in the middle.
Yeah. She don't care. She's chill. Hoodie on.
Yeah, hoodie up, everything. She's easy.
And you will appreciate this. Here's where his lack of loyalty stands out the most.
Why are we doing this?
He will walk into a barber shop and let anybody cut his hair.
Simple cut.
It's time. You realize you're messing with their business.
You're a world-renowned businessman. Time is money. You got to be efficient.
Right. I've been going to the same barbershop for 20 years, right? There's two of the five people I let cut my hair, and then there's one on emergency days, express, and I give them simple orders. Like, don't even do the extra stuff.
Yes. Get me in and out.
That's but when my cut is easy. It's a lot of work, man. The less cut you have, it's, no, it's not.
Oh, it is.
It's more work, man.
And I don't even care if it's messed up. I'm going to get another one in 5-6 days anyway.
You're interesting, though, because you're bald and you didn't lose your hair.
Yeah, I did not lose my hair. I thought I was losing my hair. I was creeping in the corners a little bit.
Nah, you're good.
And then I looked at an old picture of myself. I was like, oh, I'll be good. Yeah, this is Jalen.
This is legendary. This is legendary.
Yeah,
right,
I mean,
he's 47. Different. I'm trying to hold it down.
I mean, he gets someone to paint it on his head every morning. He's actually got the same hair as you.
Nah, what does that mean?
I want to thank Rich Kleiman for coming through. Make sure you check out the Boardroom on ESPN Plus. And you know what, Jalen Rose?
What's that?
I want to thank that baboon. Because you know what? I really thought I was going to get a vasectomy.
You shouldn't
do it. I
don't
want any more kids.
The first time that came out of your mouth, I told you, don't consider
it.
Don't do it.
And yo, you told me off wax and put your arm around me. You know when you do that sometimes? You put your arm around me, like you really got to tell me something. And
you're
like,
serious,
don't do it.
Don't do it.
Don't do it. I don't think I'm going to do it. That baboon's not doing it.
You never know what life has to offer.
That baboon's not doing it. I'm not doing it.
Correct.
But for real, you going to tell me what?
No, I'm not telling her. I'm not telling her.
I'm not telling her either.
And the baboon was in the doctor's office with two women?
Yeah.
What do you think they did after?
I know. They did. We'll be back tomorrow. Why is that, Jalen Rose?
We're not done.